The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and art wont to give more than either we desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Glad to see your faces and glad to be in here with you. I've been in the catechesis of the Eucharist with our second graders this spring, and it's great to see your faces. Today, we're going to talk ever so briefly. We have a shortened amount of time, but we are going to speak ever so briefly about the divine offices or hours, the morning, midday, and evening prayers that are available for us in the Book of Common Prayer. And before beginning, I want to just give by way of testimony. Many of you know, prior to being an Episcopal priest, I was a Presbyterian pastor. And many people, in fact, many of you have asked me, why did you move from being a Presbyterian to an Episcopalian? And one of the reasons for that, no, certainly not the only, but probably the most important reason for that is the subject of our class this morning. You see, when I was 22 years old and trying, a very young Christian, trying to figure out how do I pray, all of my good Presbyterian mentors said there's no better Protestant option to learn how to pray than this, and they handed me a Book of Common Prayer. Almost every one of them, which was funny, you see, in our tradition. But all of them began to walk through the morning, midday, and evening hours of prayer. And inhabiting that tradition and getting on that stream, in that stream, I found myself where I am now. I mean, you can't fight it too long. And so this is for the Anglican tradition, the prayers are the bedrock. It is the foundation of the Anglican tradition. This is so critical for what it is to be Anglican, to be Episcopalian. The daily prayers. So, what I hope to do in less than 20 minutes is give you a brief early church foundation for these prayers, a brief excursus on why we pray precept prayers, and then examine the Reformation roots of these prayers, and then look at the actual prayers themselves. If there are not prayer books in your hands, we've made a mistake, and if Eric Fredericks can make sure we get some to us in the next 15 minutes, that would be extremely helpful. And he's going to do that, so you guys just stay there and work on getting you prayer books, because we're going to actually walk through the actual prayer books offices. All right, so ancient roots of daily prayer. This is a thing that from the very beginning of the church, in the apostolic teachings, the early church began to punctuate the day with prayers intending to fulfill the apostolic teaching from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which is a very brief verse, which is in your handout. Pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing unless it's punctuated by the form of morning, midday, and evening prayer? This is at least where the early church turned. They wanted to create some rhythms in which it would enable them to learn how to pray without ceasing, to keep a dialogue and conversation with God throughout one's day. You also see in your handout a reading from Daniel 6:10, which essentially says that Daniel got on his knees three times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously. There's a bit of a rhythm organized in the early church of this three times a day prayer. And in the back of your handout, you can see that's only validated by Origen of Alexandria. This is the common practice. Get the bedrock of hours, punctuate the day with morning, midday, and evening prayer. And then you develop a bit of a habit of praying without ceasing. Of course, soon in the tradition of the church, Those who devoted themselves to monastic prayers set aside even more offices of prayer, sometimes as many as 9, but typically about 7 offices of prayer. Offices, hours, times to pray. And they would gather as a community. The Benedictine rule often leads to 7 offices: lauds, prime, terse, sext, non, vespers, and compline. And these are those offices which were practiced. Now, as history continued, it became, unfortunately, for much of medieval Christianity, that these offices of prayer were really only dedicated in some ways to priests and monks. And there was too much to grasp, too difficult for many lay Christians to participate. And there developed what was called a cathedral form of prayer. And the cathedral form of prayer was the kind of laity's version of this, and they would gather in the church. These are what are picked up by Thomas Cranmer. So let me get into this excursus, though, before we jump into the Reformation version of this. Why do we pray precept prayers? This is a very valuable question to ask, because many of you have asked it to me. If you're coming from a free church tradition, a charismatic tradition, evangelical tradition, you probably have wondered, why is it that we show up and we read these precept prayers, these written prayers? And sometimes it's said, you know, that these prayers become rote in the life of Christians. They are insincere. You don't have the freedom of the movement and current of the Holy Spirit. There's not spontaneity in this form of praying. It's not authentic. Has anybody heard that before? These are, of course, accusations assaulted on these more traditions. And what's presented oftentimes is this kind of what I want to call a false dichotomy of freedom of prayer versus the form of prayer. Okay? On the back of your handout, you have a very wonderful quote by a gentleman named Simon Chan, who is a Singaporean charismatic who wrote a book on liturgical theology. Okay, he's a modern, Pentecostal, who wrote a phenomenal book on the liturgy. This is the third one from the bottom. He wrote, "The work of the Spirit always has a form, the Christ pattern. Thus, he is called the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9, or 1 Peter 1:11. The liturgy of prayers is simply a way of structuring worship that is faithful to what the Spirit is doing in the church, forming it into the body of Christ." It is a false dichotomy to say that some prayers that have a form are not of the Spirit, and some prayers that are free are void of form. You see, there's form and freedom together in the unity of these two. And the Holy Spirit is always manifest as a form, and it's the Christ pattern. It's the life of following the prayers of Jesus, which most notably we talked about last week are the Psalms. And so the church and Israel alike have always been praying these forms because they recognize that the Holy Spirit is actually the one enabling the church to pray to the Father and the one that animated the words of the Scripture themselves. And so we focus a lot of our attention as praying even the Scripture itself, because we recognize when we pray the Scripture, notably the Psalms, but not merely the Psalms, we are joining the Holy Spirit in his prayers. It's a pretty profound thought. In her book, Prayer in the Night, Tish Warren, who's a wonderful thinker on this, has some great reflections on this excursus of why we pray precept prayers. She actually interacts with Stanley Hauerwas in this book, and she says this. Stanley explains his love for praying other people's prayers. Evangelicalism, let's just call it the free prayer movement in this for the sake of clarity. Evangelicalism, he says, is constantly under the burden of reinventing the wheel, and you just get tired. He calls himself an advocate for practicing prayer offices because we don't have to make it up. We know we're going to say these prayers. We know we're going to join in the reading of the psalm. We're going to have these scripture readings. There's much to be said for Christianity as repetition And I think evangelicalism doesn't have enough repetition in a way that will form Christians to survive in a world that is constantly tempting us to always think we have to be or do something new. Personally, anecdotally, I can just say that when I've inhabited myself in the pre-written prayers of the prayer book and in of the scriptures themselves, I experience like what Wendell described last week about the Mother Mary, in which a woman who has been absorbed in the pre-written scriptures and praying the Psalms and experiences some bit of a moment of awe and crisis, she is spontaneously given to a psalm-like praise, which is the most beautiful repeated psalm that we are, you know, the Magnificat is one of those beautiful prayers that we continue to pray. And this is just what comes out of her. It's the freedom birthed out of one who's, inhabited the forms of the psalms. So I find that I'm actually more apt to pray freely and spontaneously being absorbed in the forms of the church's prayers. That makes sense. So Cranmer saw this as a beautiful thing to kind of retrieve, not to leave this tradition, but to make it such that these monastic prayers were made accessible to all people. And this is really the spirit of the Reformation and Thomas Cranmer and the Book of Common Prayer. It's embedded within the foundation of Anglicanism is to make the offices of prayer available to the laity, to put it in their own vernacular, to put it in a way that is actually far more simple, take away some of the complex rubrics that were involved in some of the monastic prayer traditions, and ultimately give the congregation the words of Scripture to pray. So they, you know, organize this. And you can see this, again, in the handout. You'll see a wonderful quote from the preface to the 1549 prayer book. I won't read the entirety of this quote, but the last sentence, he talks about how it's valuable to be praying the Psalter as the first and original ground of prayers, and then goes on and says that, you know, clergy should certainly be praying this all the time so that they have something to offer the laity, but so should the laity. And why? He says, and further, that the people, the last sentence of this quote, by daily hearing of the Holy Scripture read in the church, should continually profit for more and more in the knowledge of God and to be more inflamed with the love of his true religion. Inflamed with the love of true religion or of God himself. The goal of praying these offices is transformation. Like anything, to be more and more conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Okay, I see now you have prayer books with you. I'm very glad for that. Hopefully, you can, if you don't have one, you can share one with your neighbor and begin to look at this. I simply want to just look at the outline of the prayer book. And by way of introduction to the prayer book, I think it's really important to lean into Thomas Cranmer's goal of simplicity with this. I think for most laity at this point in this place, they're pretty overwhelmed by the vastness of the prayer book tradition, and you're trying to figure out, how do I navigate this? Simplicity is part of the Reformation's gift to you, in that the goal is simply to pray and to learn how to get into a rhythm of prayer. And if you can't do all that we're going to walk through here, you can still pray in the form. In the most significant forms are praying the psalm of the day, just that psalm that morning, and the Lord's Prayer maybe. That's about a minute and a half. I guarantee you have a minute and a half. I guarantee it. And that's like, that is adequate at times. It's not like the full balanced diet of the whole of Scripture, no. But many mornings, that's all you got. And you should just do it. That's great. So leaning into simplicity is a real gift. And that said, let's look at the prayer book. Things that you're going to notice in this is that how much Scripture is involved in the morning and evening prayer. So let's just make a note. The first is that there are two forms. There's a right one and right two, which is literally, it's not a better or worse thing. It is Elizabethan language or contemporary language. If you like the these and thous, pray right one. If you like the contemporary you and yours and all that, pray right to. It doesn't matter, people. It really doesn't matter. This is really good stuff. I know there's nuances, and I'm not trying to dismiss them, but I really want to encourage the fullness of the prayer book tradition, and they're both beautiful options. We pray in both here at the church. Okay, so write one morning prayer. It begins on page 37. Write two begins on page 75. You see these. Now, here's the thing. I have a bunch of post-it notes in my prayer book because the reality is if you're going to do the full office, again, the most complex version of this is you're going to want to know where the collect of the day is. You're going to need to know what time of season it is. And so I'm just going to make a note that the collects start on page 211, at least for the contemporary ones, and the traditional ones are on 159. So I always have a little post-it note. It's really helpful. You can move it along. You say the collect of the day for that week if you're going to pray. So we're in Lent 3. You can find those collects. You identify it and just have a note. It's going to come up in this prayer service. You also need to know which passages of Scripture you're reading. We use a two-year lectionary cycle. So look at page, what page were we at? 934. And I just want everyone to find it. We're in year two of the prayer book lectionary, and it's week Lent 3. So do a work right now just finding where we are. First one has their hands up, can call the page out. This is what I do with my second grade class. So what page? I'm literally asking. This is not rhetorical. Anybody got a hand up? What page is our lectionary readings on? 955. Very good. Okay. You see it. You'll see on this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, et cetera, morning and evening psalm. This is just practical stuff. I want you to familiarize yourself with a book. If you don't have a prayer book, get one. If you can't afford one, ask me. We'll give you one. There's also an app online. It's very wonderful. Okay. Again, I've got 3 minutes to go through the rest of this. We're just cruising, aren't we? Okay, these are the necessary things. I just want you to see how saturated these offices are in Scripture. If the heart of prayers is praying the words God has given us back to Him by the power of the Spirit, I mean, you see how Trinitarian this is, Christ the Word made flesh. We're just praying the Word back to the Father. This is how we participate in the Spirit. You'll see in the very beginning of this form, you have an opening sentence of Scripture. In Lent, we start in Lent, and then we go from penitence in the beginning of the service. We go from opening sentence to confessing our sins, and we move into praise. It's penitence to praise. That's the flow of this service. You confess your sins right away, and then you begin with the invitiatory. I always struggle with that word, Nita. Okay, and that's essentially, you're invited to pray, you know, one of the primary psalms of praise, the Vanity, Psalm 95, the Jubilate. You're invited, that's Psalm 100, you're invited to pray God's word. And this is a rhythm. You do this with an antiphon before that is seasonally oriented, and finish it with that same antiphon afterwards. And you then get into the readings of the psalms and the Scriptures themselves. There's so much Scripture to be read in this if you're going to do the full prayer. If you've never come to morning prayer and want to just experience it, come to the church in the chapel at 8:30 on a morning that you have time to do it, just to experience it and have to navigate through this book and witness what exactly it looks like to pray this together. What a great opportunity to learn how to pray the offices in the more complex form. There you, of course, get the canticles, which are songs from Scripture. The Magnificat is one of them. But there are others. The Benedictus, the Song of Zechariah. That's John the Baptist's father proclaiming the goodness. It's all Scripture. How wonderful is that? To be saturated in the words of Scripture when we pray. But again, let me just finish where I started with this excursus. Simplicity. This is one of the tenets of the Reformation. Sometimes you simply don't have the time to do it any other way, but just to pray the psalm of the day, maybe the gospel reading, the Lord's Prayer. But you can do it. Like, you can do this. We could do that this week. In fact, I'm encouraging you just to do the morning and evening prayers in your household or in wherever you are together. And at noon, put a reminder on your phone and just pray the Lord's Prayer. How simple is that? All right, that's my little excursus on the Book of Common Prayer. But we are so glad to have Nita Rose here to talk about, by way of her own story of experiencing the tradition of the morning and evening prayer tradition. So, Nita, would you come up and share with us?
So I'm actually going to talk a lot more about sort of what to do if you can't do the daily offices on a regular basis. But I'm going to start just by mentioning, is this on? Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going to start by mentioning the retreat at the Monastery of Christ in the Desert. If you were in the traditional service this morning, you heard Father Cody mention having been there, and I was one of the group that went. It was an amazing experience. This is my second trip there. I think all of us went. It's during Lent. We all went with a mind to spend time in this beautiful desert setting in prayer and meditation. And we committed to be under the discipline and in the rhythm of the monastery. And so we did, in fact, go to the service of vigils that started at 4 a.m. Benedictine monks pray seven times a day. We did those seven communal times of prayer together. And when we weren't in the church with the monks, we spent a lot of time in individual prayer and meditation, and study. It truly was a meaningful experience. But on the Saturday, our last day, we drove back to Santa Fe. We got on an airplane. We came back to Dallas. And so we were back in the world of busyness and social media and noise. And so I think that we probably all wanted to bring that feeling that we got when we were in the desert with us. But it can be really hard. If you work full time, if you have kids, whatever your stage is in life, we're all faced with busyness. And so how do we spend time in prayer and scripture and so forth? And so I'm going to talk a little bit about things that I do that have come to me slowly over time. I asked God to show me how and when to pray more. And I don't think that God can ignore that request. I think if you ask for time to pray more, to draw closer to Him, He will be there waiting, and He will give you ways of praying with Him, and He will meet you in your prayers. So I start the day praying in bed, and I just thank God for bringing me through the night and bringing me to a new day. I do the daily lectionary after I get up. I'm able to go to morning prayer, Holy Communion, here at the church three times a week, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I love the service. It's beautiful. I love the experience of saying the prayers in community. I mean, I think it's the reason that we all come to church on Sunday. And I'm so grateful that I have the time to do that at other times during the week, because I think it does help. I have an alarm. I have an app on my phone that tells me 6 times a day to stop and remember God. And some of those times I say a psalm. I use the Book of Common Prayer. There are 4 psalms that I say every day because Benedict asked us to do that. So in the morning I pray 3 and 95, and then at breakfast I pray 67 and 51, and then I use the Book of Common Prayer, which, if you look at the Psalter, gives you prayer psalms to pray for morning prayer and evening prayer for 30 days. And so I do that, and then, you know, when I finish this month, I'll start again next month, so that I'm always praying psalms. And the more I pray them, the more I love them, the more I find in them, the more I hear God praying through me. One of our colleagues is that God prays for us those things that we don't know to pray for ourselves, and I believe that that is the truth. So when the alarms go off at six times through the day, I'm not always where I can read a psalm. So I say the Lord's Prayer, or sometimes I just say thank you, or help me. I have a friend who says, help me, thank you, is a really good prayer. And yeah, I felt that way a lot of times. I try to remember to say thank you when small things happen. So, you know, if I make it through a green light, I say thank you, God. If I find a parking place, I say thank you, God. And I say compline at night. And so I believe that God is happy when I do any of those forms of prayer. You know, I feel that he draws me near him, and that I am in his presence when I say these prayers. A couple weeks ago, Betsy talked about contemplative prayer, and so I don't want to leave that out, because I do try to practice contemplative prayer, sitting in silence, listening, every day. So we're actually out of time, but if I can make it through without crying, I want to read one of my favorite passages from Philippians. This is Philippians 4. Don't know if I can do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Nita. That was beautiful. And, you know, you said so many things. The heart of prayer is ultimately, it's to commune with God. And so this is about relating to our Lord and our Savior in a regular way throughout the day. and it does bear fruit. So let's do it together. Let's do it together. Let me finish with a word from Psalm 61 along these lines. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. I will dwell in your house forever. I will take refuge under the cover of your wings. Amen. Bless you all.